They want me to do what? Dick Boyle asked Duke Masterman. You heard me. What about fuel? Your fueling point's right about here, Colonel Masterman said, holding the just-downloaded satellite photo. Hilltop west of a place called Chicheng. Nobody lives there, and the numbers work out. Yeah, except our flight path takes us within 10 miles of this fighter base. 8 F-111s are going to hit it while you're on the way in. Ought to close down their runways for about 3 days, they figure. Boyle nodded. What about opposition on the ground? We figure maybe 100 people on duty total, say a squad at each silo. Can you get some Apaches out there to run interference? Yeah, they can get that far if they travel light. It was the same Spetsnaz people they'd trained. The maps and photos came from SRV and CIA. I propose that we divide by nationalities, Kirillin said. Vanya, you and your rainbow men take this one here. My men and I will divide the rest among us using our existing squad structures. Looks okay, Yuri. When will we be going in? Just before dawn. How exactly are we supposed to disable the missiles? Ding asked. They're fueled by a 10-centimeter pipe, two of them actually, from underground fueling tanks adjacent to the launch silo. First, we destroy the pipes. Then we look for some way to access the missile silo itself. A simple hand grenade will suffice. What if the warhead goes off? Kirillin actually laughed. They will not, Domingo Stepanovich. These items are very secure in their arming procedures, and the sites themselves are designed to protect against nuclear blast, not a squad of engineer soldiers. You can be sure of that. Chavez went off to see Sergeant Major Price. Hey, Eddie. Do we have a better idea for the mission yet? Looks like mainly a job for Patty, blowing things up. We've picked our target. It's the north and eastmost silo, 2 4-inch pipes running to it. Patty will blow those and then try to find a way to pop the cover off the silo or otherwise find an access door. There's one on the overhead. Then get inside, toss a grenade to break the missile, and we get the hell out of Dodge City. You take Patty, Louis, Hank, and Dieter, and your team handles the destruction of the missile. I take the rest to do security and overwatch. Price nodded as Patty Connolly came over. Are we getting chemical gear? What? Chavez asked. Ding, if we're going to be playing with bloody liquid-fueled missiles, we need chemical warfare gear. The fuel's for these things. You don't want to breathe the vapor, trust me. I'll talk to John about that. Oh, shit, Ed Foley observed when he took the call. Okay, John. I'll get hold of the army on that one. Foley switched phones. I need General Moore. Yes, Director? Our special operations people say they need chemical warfare gear for their mission, and way ahead of you, Ed, First Armored's got the right stuff, and it'll be waiting for him at the field. The Politburo meeting had gone past midnight.
So, Marshal Luo, Tian said, things went badly yesterday. How badly?
There was a major battle between 34th Shock Army and the Russians. It appears to have been a draw, and we are now maneuvering to press our advantage.
In other words, a battle was fought and we lost it.
I didn't say that,
but it is the truth, is it not? So what is the military situation in Siberia?
It has changed somewhat.
Not entirely to our benefit, but the situation is by no means lost.
By no means lost, everyone around the table knew, was a delicate way of saying that a disaster had taken place.
Comrades, we still have our strengths, Zhang told them all. Of all the great powers, only we have intercontinental missiles, and no one will dare strike us hard while we do. Comrade, 2 days ago the Americans totally destroyed bridges so stout that one would have thought that only an angry deity could so much as scratch them. How secure can those missiles be? I think we may be reaching the time when Shen might wish to approach America and Russia to propose an end to hostilities.
You mean surrender? Zhang asked angrily. Never!
It had already started, though the Politburo members didn't know it yet. All over China, people owning computers had logged onto the internet. This was especially true of young people and university students most of all. The CIA feed had attracted a global audience. CNN, Fox, and Europe Sky News had immediately pirated it.
Luo hadn't commented on the internet phenomenon, thinking it irrelevant, but in that he'd made the greatest political misappreciation of his life. They met in college dorm rooms, and like students everywhere, they combined idealism with passion. By midnight, they were meeting in larger groups. Some leaders emerged, and being leaders, they felt the need to take their associates somewhere. There was only one place for them to go: Tiananmen Square, the Square of Heavenly Peace. The appearance of the first students in the square was barely noted by the two policemen there. The presence of so many young people in the square was unusual, but they weren't doing anything unlawful. They didn't even report what was going on.